the last song is Give Thanks, and he has a bunch of repeats on there that I think are bipolar. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing straight through once, go back to the top, and that's going to be the repeat of the whole thing, and then at the end we're just going to go, Give Thanks. Ta-da.
And the only announcement I had is Tom just wanted to tell everybody hi. So.
And good morning, and for those of you who haven't noticed, I'm not Tom. My name is Al Hill. Most everybody here knows me because I did used to worship at the well. But currently, I have my own ministry called Vine and Branches, which is a ministry to men suffering from addiction, men who are guests of the state government at one of their fine facilities of correction, and men that are out just on the street lost. And I appreciate the fact that the well supports that ministry, as do some others as well, that you know what we do together. And now I ask if anybody has any concerns or prayer requests.
Ken Olson, I have always had Nancy Turner. Nancy Turner goes in for surgery again tomorrow at the Charlottesville for a night or so. Please pray for Nancy. She's been through a lot the last year. Appreciate that.
And Martha, I heard that, but for anybody else, speak loudly. My hearing aids don't show up for two more weeks.
I'd like to pray for our neighbor, Nancy. She's in hospice care now, end of life care. Mm-hmm. And just pray for, I guess, comfort.
Yeah. Comfort. Anybody else? Now let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come into your presence, asking your blessing upon this gathering. Lord, we are assured by the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is indeed here with us. For he promised that whenever and wherever two or more were gathered in his name, he would be there in his midst. So Lord, we open up, O Lord, recognizing that indeed we are standing on holy ground by his presence. We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life. Remind us, O Lord, as we go through our time this morning, O Lord, of all the things for which we have to be thankful. Remind us, O Lord, of all the things for which we need to improve. We ask, O Lord, that you would guide us and lead us and direct us in all things. And Lord, we lift up to you all the concerns upon our hearts, and we lay them before you, fully believing that you are already at work, that the Holy Spirit is already moving, that your angels have already been dispatched. And so, Lord, we come to you in confidence and in grace. In your holy name, amen. Amen. And now if you'll look at your bulletin, you will enter into the presence of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us. For you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. take time in silence and self-examination. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions. Wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with a willing spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name.
Amen.
And now we open up our worship by reciting Psalm 1, found in the middle of the bulletin, responsibly by whole verse. Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful.
Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on his law day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper.
It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away.
Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked is doomed.
The first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream, and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Here ends the first reading.
Lord Christ, we come before your throne. Again, we acknowledge that you are here present. And Lord, you have told us to come to you, all you who are heavy laden, and whose burden is heavy, for your yoke is light, and your burden is easy. Lord, we hand off to you our cares, our concerns, our worries, our fears, our anxieties, and all those things that go bump in the night. And we lay them at your feet. Lord, we lift up to you all those near and dear to us who are going through times of trial, worry, fear, anxiety, oppression of any kind. And especially, Lord, we lift up to you Nancy Turner, who will be going into surgery very soon. And we ask your blessing upon her, that she may know your peace. We ask her, O Lord, that you would bless her with an assurance that the great physician is overseeing her care. We pray, O Lord, that you would watch over those performing the surgery, watch over all those who care for her, watch over all those, O Lord, involved in bringing her healing, wholeness, and health, and give to them the wisdom, the foresight, and the knowledge, and the insight to see the things that will lead them in the right directions. And most of all, Lord, we pray you guide their hands, that as they work to do the healing, O Lord, you have gifted them to do, they would follow your lead. And Lord, we lift up our sister, our other sister, Nancy, who's in hospice. Lord, we pray that you would bring peace and comfort to her. Lord, may the peace of heaven descend upon her now while she is still with us, that she may know this as a time of preparation and as a time to begin to bask in the solace of God. May angels tend to her needs, and may the Holy Spirit, our comforter, comfort her indeed. And Lord, as we go out from this place and we go into our workplaces and into our communities, and we get with the people that we see and circle around, use us, O Lord, to bring your healing, to calm the anxieties of others, to show kindness where kindness is so often denied, and to persevere even when kindness is too often seen as a sign of weakness. Give to us, O Lord, your strength. For when it came time, O Lord, to stand for us and to endure all the trials that you had to endure, you stood. And you stood by the peace of the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that is all we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
The second lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all of all people most pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Here ends the second reading.
You would bless this offering that we do put before you, that by our faith, that by your power, great things may be done. In your most holy and blessed name, amen.
Amen.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyrus and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured, and all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, and revile you, and spurn your name as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation.
Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
And I will give you a little bit of comfort. I always carry a big notebook. It doesn't mean we've got 100 pages to do. But it's great to be here with you. And I want to give special thanks to Jen, who's had not just to be the gospel reader, the organ, you know, the everything else she does, but she's had to be the tour guide this morning and guide me through the various things that I've become unfamiliar with over the years. And, in my ministry, 23 people is a huge crowd. In fact, if we hit some of the places I preach, we can't fit 23 in. This would just be considered like feeding the 5,000. But it's great to be here. It's good to be with you. And it's an honor to be before you carrying a message from God's Word. I'm going to pray first. Lord, bless all that we do. Bless all that I say. That, Lord, nothing that comes out of my mouth may bring misinformation or error to anyone else. But Lord, may all that I do and all that I say at this time bring light and lighten burdens and not bring heaviness. In your most holy and blessed name, amen. The lessons you heard this morning appointed for today, the sixth Sunday after Epiphany. Epiphany being the commemoration of the revelation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, us. These readings and lessons are unified in not merely explaining nor even just firmly proclaiming, but in argumentatively explaining that it is folly to temper God's word with human logic. Psalm 1 casts the adherents of human wisdom as sinners, scoffers, and even as wicked, while proclaiming that the blessed delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his guidance day and night. The blessed ones flourish as trees planted by streams of water. And by the way, that picture is repeated in Jeremiah and in some of the other lessons as well. While the scoffer perishes like wind-blown chaff. Jeremiah paints the contrast between those who base their values on human understanding and those who trust in the Lord, Adonai, in similar fashion. One trusting in his own strength, languishing in a parched salt marsh, and the wise flourishing in well-irrigated soils, free from the anxiety of drought. And Jeremiah didn't just say it, he lived it. As the enemy army was approaching Jerusalem, he stood on the walls of Jerusalem and watched the approach. And he watched them gather outside the walls and start to build the siege ramp that would eventually get them up to the top of the wall and over it and into the city. And seeing that, God told him, go buy such and such parcel of land. Take what you have and buy that land. Buy that parcel. Now, common sense would have told him, as soon as the enemy comes in and takes over, that deed isn't going to be worth whatever it's written on. But he obeyed and did it. And even though it ended up, he got to spend some time at the bottom of a pit. In the end, he prospered. But yet he wrote this before he had seen that happen. Luke's gospel gives us a snapshot of this truth being demonstrated and proclaimed by our Lord Christ himself. And he came down with them and stood on a level place. And with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd began to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes to the disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. And I'm laughing as I even read the next part. Blessed are you when people hate you and exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day. And leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. And then he answered, for so their fathers did to the prophets. He pronounces the woes, but woe to you who are rich, for you've received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. God's wisdom exceeds human philosophy and human understanding and human experience. Another place it says, God's folly is greater than human wisdom. In another translation, God's foolishness exceeds human wisdom. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, drives us home. And exactly what the issue is. If we place human understanding above God's word, we inevitably deny the essence of our hope. Human wisdom tells us, if you're dead, you're dead. If you have died, you're gone. The gospel of Jesus Christ tells us he died, he ascended to the dead, and on day three, he rose again. And the scriptures tell us he was seen about by the disciples, by the faithful, and up to over 500 witnesses. And I want to stress it was over 500, because the word used there is witnesses. And I want to tell you right now, based on Hebrew tradition, 50% of this crowd would not be considered a witness, because women could not bear testimony in court. So it was 500 guys and whoever else got to be with them. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our faith is of no value. And we are still in our sins. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are eternally hopeless. But, in fact, Christ has been raised. Raised from the dead. And not the last, but the first of those who will follow. That's Paul. And those of you who know your scripture know that in the book of Acts, there were times when the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul didn't exactly see eye to eye. And the first church fight is in Acts. We didn't invent it. But here, Peter and Paul see eye to eye. For Peter writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for by his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Receive that. Let that tell you who you are. It is God's will that we are to know that he has given us a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Receive, that's in the word, receive this from Isaiah 55:11. "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in doing that for which I sent it." And that, now we get visual aids. Going to the heart of the matter. And I left my Bible back there because I was afraid it would mess up the stand. Something was going to fall on the floor, I was sure. But if you'll take your Bible out, and I'm going to save you some trouble, I'm not going to ask you to start counting the chapters. I'm going to tell you that if you do count the chapters in the Bible, you will find there are 1,188 canonical chapters in the Bible. Now, if you want to go to the heart of something, it's talking about going to the center. Well, as some of you who are really good at math know, in fact, even people who are not good at math know this, that if you got an even number, it's hard to find a center. If there were 1,189, we know that number 595 would be the center. But it's even. Go to the middle then. The 594th chapter of the Bible is Psalm 118. A little code. Psalm 118 out of 1,188. 88. The same numerals are used, say, 118, verse 8. And it reads, "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man." When in doubt, ask the author, ask the creator, ask the one who made us and then pronounced, "It is good." Well, another way of getting to the heart of the matter is you don't count chapters, you count verses. And there's 31,102 verses. And I sure hope you're going to take my word for that, because we won't be out of here by next Sunday if we have to stop and count. So verse 15,551 to verse 15,552 would be the ones in the middle. And those verses are found in Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." And as long as we're in that psalm, drop down a little bit. Verse 15, "As for man, his days are like grass." God's foolishness is greater than our wisdom. It is better to take refuge in God than to trust in man. And now I got 3 minutes to get to my point. Or maybe not even that much. But I want to make my point by sharing what I know personally, what I have seen. And the neat thing is, so have you. Or a lot of you have seen this. Years ago, when I started Vine and Branches Ministries, it was a ministry strictly about helping men who were incarcerated and men coming out of incarceration. And there was a man in this congregation, he's still a member of the congregation, he just didn't hear this morning, Tom Langford. And Tom called me up after his brother Scott had passed away. And he said, "If you could come over and help us," Tom and his other brother, "clear out his late brother's apartment, I could have the furniture to use to give away to men that needed it." So I called up the only person at the time I knew who had a truck and who would speak to me enough that I could talk him into helping, and that was Craig. And we went over and we unloaded a good bit of furniture that day. And at the time, I had no idea how I was ever going to give it away. I'm volunteering with the Virginia Department of Corrections. They don't let people out. At least ways not at the two prisons I was serving at the time. But God knew. We stored the stuff in my basement. And then the next summer, my HVAC unit went on the blink. And I had to call somebody to come and fix it and replace it. And they sent out a crew. And one of the men in that crew had been released within the last 4 weeks prior. And he needed some living room stuff. He needed a coffee table, and he needed a bedside table. That made a dent. Now, Al's wisdom would have been, gee, Tom, thanks a lot, but I don't know where I would ever give this. I don't know where I would ever use this. Six months or so later, again, Craig's in the story. There's this guy named Eddie, who's, I know Eddie because he's one of the men at our father's house, a sober house that I volunteer at. And Eddie starts coming to a worship service where Craig and I are, and Craig meets him, and then Craig hires Eddie to come out and do some work for him around his property. And Eddie shares that he and this other guy are getting an apartment and they don't have any furniture. That's a good story there, but it gets even better. The other guy is the grandson of a woman that had come to me, and we got together every Sunday to pray for her grandson. Again, clueless over here. By everything wise and intelligent, I should have said, I don't need this furniture. I got no place to send it. But now we're down to like there's only one piece left. And I've already embarrassed Craig, so now I'm going to embarrass Lisa. I'm working with some men at the Gateway. And there was one man in particular that it was like I was everything in one body that could possibly get on his nerves, and he was one thing put into one body that could possibly get on my nerves. But things transpired in his life and fell into place in such a way he got an opportunity to come out of the program, go into an apartment, and he needed a piece of furniture. I had one piece left. It was a hide-a-bed, the size of a love seat. It would fit in his small apartment. The one thing in his life cementing his sobriety was his 9-year-old daughter, and he didn't have a bed for her. In fact, he didn't have but one bedroom. But with that hide-a-bed, which could go in the living room, she could come and stay on weekends and have a bed. That's pretty good. God figured it wasn't good enough. Again, Craig does get back in because he had to help me load that hide-a-bed into my truck so I could take it to the guy who had a van that was going to take it to this guy's apartment. And so there's three of us getting this very heavy hide-a-bed off my truck, cramming it into the van. And this man then says the weirdest thing. You know what I'm going to do as soon as I get in that apartment and get settled? As soon as I get the refrigerator running, I'm going to F&L Market, and I'm going to get me a whole bunch of meat and put it in the freezer. And I'm going to F&L because I used to go there before I went to prison. And the guy in the meat department, I would pick out a big bulk thing of meat, and he'd take it and he'd trim it up and package it up, and he would only charge me the price per pound for the trimmed out weight, not the bulk weight. And y'all might not know this. Tom Lankford's brother that had died was the meat manager at F&L Market. God can do what God says he can do. God is who God says he is. And even death, we are who God says we are. And he calls us his beloved. Amen. Amen. Tell me what's next.
Apostles' Creed.
Apostles' Creed. Yes. Stand for, as we proclaim our faith through the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, He was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, He was crucified and buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. And he ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the Spirit, the Holy Church, the Lasting. Amen. Sorry about that.
You could join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our
thanks and praise.
It is a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give our thanks to you, God of glory. For you formed a people to trust in you, to root their life in yours, and to bear fruit without end. When they were parched by sin and thirsting for righteousness, you sent your Son and let them drink of your forgiving mercies. So you made them like trees planted by streams of water, whose leaves do not wither. By the power of your Holy Spirit, you raised your Son from death to life, the first fruits of those who have died. Trusting in all sufficient ways, your church is rooted in you and continues to bear the fruits of resurrection. And so with your people on earth and with all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join the hymn of glory.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Replenishing God, you have the power to transform hunger into blessing. Fill us with faith as we feast around this table. As your Son blessed the hungry, send your Spirit upon your church. As we remember his saving passion, show us the fullness of your love. Sanctify this bread and cup that they may be for us the body and blood of your Son, who at supper with his disciples took bread and gave you thanks, broke the bread and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup. Again, he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Patient God, you promise that your kingdom belongs to the poor. Bless your church through the faithful company of those who know poverty, as you bestow laughter upon those who weep. Comfort your sons and daughters who cry and show them unfailing joy, as you extend your goodness to all who are excluded on account of your Son. Give courage to those who are persecuted, and as you promise to uphold all who hunger, fill your children, body and soul, with the food that truly satisfies. Bring us to the great day of heavenly reward, that dawn of unending blessedness, which we shall share with all your saints, rejoicing in your glory, ever faithful God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
The benediction is an Irish con, which is Irish for circle. May the angels of heaven protect us this day and circle us with the fragrance of peace. May Christ, our Lord and loving friend, protect us this day and circle us with affection and love. May the Spirit of Truth, who dwells in our hearts, protect us this day and fill us with joy. Our Father, we are yours. We go out in your name. Keep us safe. Amen.
Amen.